basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is Bible Radio, the internet radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, St. Paul in Minnesota. And this is Sunday Morning Live. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a non-denominational church dedicated to the teaching and living out of God's Word. And now, Sunday Morning Live.
All right. Surprise! I was just as surprised as you to get the call from Chick that he's out of town, and he needed to have somebody who had heard from God, and I had. And so here I am. Let's pray one more time before we start. Heavenly Father, I ask that you just use my words, give me the words to use, is a better way to put it, Lord, to get across the message that you gave me. Let it be a blessing to someone or many here and online, Lord. And so I pray this in Jesus' name. All right, this is message is going to be titled Missed Blessings. Originally, I had heard from God after I spoke the last time, and started out the message kind of using in the beginning the sin, and with Moses going up to get the Ten Commandments, that even Aaron, along with everyone else, sinned kind of as a, we have all sinned and fall short of the grace of God. The next step into it, I had everything all planned out. The Lord gave me a scripture, and I didn't study. I sat on it. And so, I was not prepared when I got a call, but the Lord also, in his grace, gave me a message Saturday. So I'm going with that. That was the last thing I heard from him. And that kind of starts it out, is that I missed a blessing by not being prepared and being ready to speak. I knew that was something that was going to happen again. I knew what I should have done. I didn't manage my time the way I should have. Praise God, I'm getting better at that. But that was a missed blessing, which I think, from what I've heard from a couple of other people, might be something that happens to all of us. I know I've missed a lot of blessings, and this is only my second time standing up here. I've missed a lot of blessings because I feel I'm not good enough to stand up and represent Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. I don't have feel like I have the ability to do it well enough for me to be here. I know there's sitting here today people out there who are more qualified as far as having verse and chapter memorized to be able to bring it to memory, know the Bible better than I do. But there is that when God calls you, what are you going to do? And I knew that he called me to talk, so out of obedience to God and a promise that I made to my pastor when he was in Africa, the Lord had me send him a message to basically tell him that I've got your back. I'll go to the scripture. Exodus 17, 11, 12, and 13. And I didn't text him the exact words here, but this is what I was basing my text of encouragement to him on. And so it was, when Moses held up his hands, the Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him and set him on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And that's what I promised Chick, that if he ever had a situation where he couldn't make it in, I was really thinking it was going to be a Thursday night when he was on a skateboard and broke his hip or something. So I was thinking I was going to be doing like a Thursday crowd, not a Sunday crowd. So I'm a little intimidated. But you know, when God calls us, we just have to be ready for whatever it is that he's called us to. In the Bible, there's examples, in real life, there's examples of people who've missed blessings. 2 Samuel 14, 15, and 16, we see, and I'm going to paraphrase this, we see where Absalom, David's son, took over from David, and David, once again, like he was running from Saul, wound up running to the wilderness from his son, Absalom. And this was, my understanding, a consequence of his sin with Bathsheba. And the planned murder of her husband, there was a consequence to it. And so, as far as not being prepared or not feeling worthy, David, I think, was one man of God that God prized, yet he could make a mistake, yet God could be with him through that. I know there's a brother that I think was supposed to speak and didn't make his appointment here for a situation that happened, another pastor that had a little incident run-in with a boat situation that blessings were affected in his life by those events. Ultimately, Israel wandered 40 years in the wilderness until the generation died off that sinned against the Lord. They weren't allowed to get into the promised land. Even Moses, instead of speaking to the stone, struck the stone in anger. He didn't get into the promised land either. But all these guys were loved by God, and they had chances after that. So praise God for restoration. Praise God for forgiveness and the ability to make mistakes and move forward. All right. So in preparing for this, I was reminded of a book I just read, and Pastor Chick had asked me to read Charles H. Spurgeon's The Greatest Fight. I recommend that. In taking advice from that book, this may not be word for word, but I took notes. Be sure your message is scriptural, not adding any new toy to the Word of God. Stick to the old-time gospel. It's tried, tested, and proven. So I guess it doesn't get any more old-time scripture in going back to Genesis. But I'll tell you what I heard from God Saturday morning related to this message. I heard God speak to me In the garden, Adam and Eve had only one thing to do. Don't eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That was it. Real simple. God met all their needs, clothing, food. Temperature was always correct. They had everything they needed. They only had one thing, and they blew it. Then I heard the Lord speak to me, "Today, you need to meet all your needs, but I give you one thing to do, a choice to make." Now we'll start in Genesis 2:16. To give scripture to back this up, so. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you should not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper compatible to him. All right, and then I skipped over to 3:1-7. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree'? Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden'?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So that is kind of what I started with. Something that, I don't know where I got this from, but it's something interesting to think about. Adam and Eve's relationship. Being the man and having Eve created from part of his body makes me wonder if, and also knowing that Eve ate from the fruit first, makes me wonder, and this is just my mind, he knew Eve screwed up, and he knew Dad was going to be mad. Did he possibly take of the fruit because he didn't want to be separated from his wife if a consequence came down? Did he lay his life down for his wife? Was that the first example of sacrifice? As far as in a marriage that's explained in the Bible, that he loved her so much that he was willing to make that mistake with her to stay with her or attempt to stay with her. I don't know. It's just conjecture. It's just something I thought about. I thought that was kind of interesting. All right. Basically, when you think about that, that's the gospel message. So right there in the beginning, we see an example of Jesus and his sacrifice for us in Adam and his sacrifice, if you take my theory, to stay with his wife. Revelation 3:20 and 21 is where we'll go next. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. That's kind of where most Christians stop. They get the salvation part. They get, okay, this is the requirements to get into heaven. I'm going to do that. It's free. Everybody likes free. But there's verse 21. That's something that God showed me to focus on. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. So the choice that God spoke to me Saturday morning is the choice of salvation, but not just the choice of salvation. The choice he spoke to me was more than the obvious salvation through acceptance of his son Jesus, but to overcome. Next, we're going to go to John 13:12-20. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garment, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." So what I take from that is that Jesus, and I've been in management forever, the best way and the way that I've always worked when I come in with a new team is I will work alongside of them and show them. They can show me some things in this new career, but most of the time I was showing the people that I was working with how to do the job that they needed to do. That's basically what Jesus is saying here. This is what Jesus came for. Jesus came to show us what he wanted us to do, rather than just writing words down and sending rules to us. He came down and said, okay, here, follow me. I'll show you what to do. And he did. That, I think, is awesome. And I recommend if you have, if you work with people, if you do that, you'll always have a job. It doesn't seem to matter where I go and who I work with. I've got a team now that's the best team that I've worked with so far. But just in a very short period of time, working with them and treating them that way, I've earned their respect, and everything is just clicking so well. And it seems like wherever I go, that works. It's a godly principle, I believe. Next, we'll go to Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And what flows into this that I found is 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 28. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, that's us, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. So again, this is kind of like the salvation thing, fire protection, whatever you want to call it, accepting Jesus and knowing you're going to heaven is one thing. But I see that God speaks to us that, okay, there's something here that I need you to do, or want you to do, give you the choice to do. That's the why I think he gave me that word choice. Because it's a choice for us. We have the gift of a choice. And after salvation, it doesn't stop. That there you never get to a point where in your walk with the Lord, you're finished. That's, if it ever happened that way, how boring would our lives be? But some people leave it at that. Some people go to church, sit in the pews, and week after week, it just becomes something that they do. That is something that I've done. I'm guilty of it too. But it misses a blessing, and I don't really have the ability to explain how it works and how God makes you feel when you are obedient to what he's asking you to do. That alone is a blessing, but he piles on other blessings too. You don't have to worry about finances, things like that, for the most part. I mean, you could obviously be a gambler, and God's not going to bail you out of that. But if you're walking with the Lord, you don't really have to worry about anything except doing what he's asked you to do. And another thing, like the title of the book, God uses words like fight or battle that we're in as Christians in the church. Because it is a battle. And everything is, unfortunately. I didn't know I was going to be here today. So yesterday I went and picked up some extra work and worked an 8-hour shift and just got wore down harder than I normally work in a day. And then came home and wasn't feeling good. Got a medical thing going on. And took a shower and went to bed. And I'm like, ah. And then, bleep, I get the text. So, I mean, it wasn't hard, but it was hard. I had to put my flesh down and do what God asked me to do. And he had spoken to me the day before, so he gave me a message. So it's like I knew I was ready. And the opportunity was there. And I am trying, since my wife passed, to just do it when God asked me to do something. It hasn't failed yet, unless today goes off the rails. But he hasn't failed me yet when I have just said, okay, I don't feel like it, but I'm just going to do it. So, that, unfortunately, winds up being the end of what I had. I did not run this through. I didn't have time to practice. So, I didn't know how this was going to go. This was my test practice here. But I can say that from being obedient to God, you can be blessed in ways that you can't comprehend right now. Because God will do things that you're not thinking about in your life, things that can be a blessing that you never thought could be. I think had I stayed in Calvary Chapel, had I not sinned and walked away and did what I did, I really think, could I have grown to the point where I was a pastor in a church at this point in my life? But because of the consequences of my sin, I am not, and I am not ready to be, admittedly. I still need to work with God a lot more. I need to get closer to him by reading my word, and I need to improve my prayer life. I need to get scripture memorized. Another big thing that the Lord has put on me is prayer. No move of God has ever started without it starting with prayer. So for our fellowship, that's one thing I think God would have us to know is pray, pray, pray. And again, as words like struggle, battle, fight, it really some days is a fight, a struggle to stay focused and pray and spend time with God. There's so many distractions, so much going on, so much we're responsible for. In that, in the garden, when God took care of everything, now he's like, okay, you want it your way. Well, then you take care of that stuff, but you still need to honor me and So now it's that much harder. Now it is a fight, and maybe that's why that terminology is used in the Bible. What else was my... I lost my chain of thought now. Went down a rabbit hole a little bit. Prayer. Prayer, getting in the Word, and that's just a basic. So that's my basic start to the day. So in doing what I think I said last time I was up here, to pray, have a journal, and read Scripture every morning, that's a good start. But it didn't prepare me for the phone call I got last night. So that shows me, okay, you thought you were doing okay, Rick, but you need to do a little better. And every step that you take with the Lord, it seems like there's another step in front of you and another step in front of you. So it can seem daunting, it can seem scary, intimidating, but being up here and having the Holy Spirit support me and carry me through this, because I, with little or no sleep from last night and preparing this message, I really got nothing. I'm just standing up here by the grace of God getting through this. That mistake that will not happen a second time. But in people in the church and in people in general accepting what God offers, salvation, they think they're ready, but they're not. I think the Lord is preparing. I know he's spoken some stuff to me, and he's still not wanting me to say a whole lot, but he's preparing us to help to be ready and to help others to be ready for something that's coming. And I'm not foolish enough to set dates or anything like that, but I think a move of God is going to happen. He's going to, from what I get from what I've heard from him, it's a shaking of the earth. Not saying an earthquake, but just he's going to shake the church. A sifting is going to happen in the churches. And it's going to sift out those people who are maybe meh, and those people who really, truly have a heart to seek after God and to follow him and to serve him. And with the deception, and I kind of spoke a little bit of it earlier, or in my first message, I've also got a feeling from just from looking at what's going on in business right now, it's as if they keep adding and adding and adding and adding onto our workloads and increasing things and making it so that we don't have time. That's what they're stealing. And so I see that as the devil's behind that. He's stealing our time so we don't have time to spend with the Lord. And we just, that is something that I feel the Lord is saying clearly, is don't give that time up. Find a way to keep that time. And this would be a conjecture of my own. I've seen this AI thing kick off, and it just seems as if businesses, and this would go back to the children of Israel who sinned and didn't get to see the promised land, that businesses, we used to have a model. And I know a couple people that work in business. In our company, for example, there was a guy. He was always the guy. Every company has got a guy.
that guy kind of managed to wrap his head around the operation. He could see from invoices and stuff coming in and bills going out and kind of get a feel for if the company was doing okay or not. That is pretty much gone. The companies kind of compartmentalize the information. They've divided it up so that guy's no longer there. He's there, but he's no longer able to understand what's going on. So from what I hear from the Lord saying is this is we, the older people like me, I count myself one of the generation that I can seem to be able to fix things, do a bunch of stuff, and understand certain things in business. We're the generation. Satan doesn't have anything original of his own. So what I'm hearing the Lord say is part of the deception in the end time. Satan's taken from God's playbook. Okay, the Israelites, that generation had to die off before God could bless and move to the next thing. Satan is doing that in that the generation, because I've heard so many people my age or a little older who just finally quit their jobs, just walked away and said the frustration is too much. Satan has pushed and frustrated people to that point is what I'm getting from God. That he wants to take this generation with knowledge and remove them so that he can move deception and the new people are, like I said, all things are compartmentalized. So people are not able to understand what's going on. And I think things are a lot more convoluted than we're even aware of. So for what that's worth, that's another thing Satan's doing to add to what I had in my first message. And it's scary. It's scary because honestly, I don't see people being prepared. I don't see people. People are moving into this, the newer generation, just superficially, kind of like the people who go and sit in a pew in church. They're there, but they really don't know what's going on. And the same thing in business is it's turning that way. So whatever this shaking up is going to be, I'm not sure what it is. I don't know if it involves the financial end of it or not. But the only way you're going to see this deception, the only way you're going to be able to is like exactly how God showed me through the scriptures, where the generation had to be purged. And then speaking to me and saying, this is what's happening right now today. A generation is being moved out of the way so that deception can be moved in. And the newer generation are not in their word. They're not grasping what's going on, not as many as need to be. But our job is to be preparing them and getting them ready by being in their word and praying. One thing I can say from home fellowship, if you're not in a home fellowship or you haven't attended one, do it. There is something that happens that's a blessing, similar to the blessing you get from doing whatever God's asked you to do. You get energy, you get charged up, the Lord speaks to you more clearly. Another thing is a prayer partner. Well, we use a prayer text group, but I think it's important, and even if you're not in a home fellowship, that you find a person that you can pray with. Because again, that's something the Lord's speaking to me about is prayer, prayer, prayer. A person that, because sometimes we can get lax in our prayer, that person can say, hey, let's pray, or hey, I need prayer, and draw you back into prayer, and then vice versa, you can do it with them. I think that's really critical in being prepared, along with reading our word. Journaling, in another circumstance, a lot of times my journaling is the time that God speaks to me, because I read my word first, and then God speaks to me after that. And so my journal sometimes has gems in there from, you know, potential messages in there that God's spoken to me. Writing stuff down just is really important. Keeping things documented, that it might not seem like anything. Maybe it does at the time, maybe it doesn't, but then you go back and you look at it later and something clicks. Or I'll jot down scriptures that come to mind. And that's kind of about the best I have for advice. Pretty sure that God would agree. You can't go wrong reading his word, praying, being in fellowship, and then even having that closer relationship with one other person to have a prayer partner, that these things are very necessary right now, and that we need to be looking for what it is that God, what gift has God given you. We need to look for that gift and put it to use to prepare the next generation, even if the person that we're talking to, we're helping out, is an older person. Maybe that person knows a younger person, or down the chain. But we just really have to get doing what the Lord showed us when he came down to earth to do. And that's based on what gifts he's given you. And it's hard sometimes. I mean, I even screwed up last week where the younger coworker had his catalytic converter cut off. So his car was not drivable. And the first day he came to work, I never thought anything about it. And the second day, the Lord's like, well, I saw him walking to the bus stop. So I don't know if it was the Lord or if it was me that, oh, he's taking the bus from Minneapolis to St. Paul. So I offered him a ride. It was like pulling teeth to get the guy to accept help. He was, no, I'll take the bus. No, don't go out of your way. Don't go out of your way. I'm fine. I got the bus. He lives 3 minutes away from my house. And even after he found out he lived 3 minutes away from my house, he still didn't want to accept that help. So we got to make sure we're being persistent in reaching out to help people. Because it seems like the newer generation, and part of this whole deception, is that they close off and they don't have the openness to ask for help. And thank God that he accepted my offer for a ride home, and that I see that God's probably going to use that down the road. I haven't had much success ministering to him. He's younger, and yeah, there's a disconnect. But I have faith that God is going to make a connection. And if it's not me, maybe it'll be someone else in his circle. But that offering to help him out, we should be doing that in the church, between our fellow members. Help anybody out. I'm willing to do that. It's not easy. Again, it's a fight. But it's another important part outside of just doing Bible reading, prayer, and home fellowship. Home fellowship should be where you're asking for help anyway. But But there's people that might be in this fellowship that, like this young guy, are proud or don't want to bother anybody. And they don't really say they need help. But if we are reaching out and doing what we can to make contacts with everybody, first in the church and then moving outside of the church, that's going to be crucial in getting people into their word and leading them to the Lord. So, God can bless us if we fight the fight and be obedient. Whether you're ready or not, God can use you. He can bless you in ways that we could never imagine. So, I'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we had this time together. I ask that the words that went out sound better than they sounded coming out of my mouth to me. And that a message got through, Lord, for people out there. And we can start to look for our talents and gifts to serve you, Lord, and move forward in receiving the blessings that you're holding up there in heaven for us. So I just ask you to bless the rest of our day today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.